Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Fabrizio Buzzetto. I think I got that right. Good afternoon, Fabrizio. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks. You got that right.
Yeah, well, good. And thank you for joining us today. I know it's a little bit late there. You're in Brazil, so a little bit ahead of us. It's in the middle of the afternoon here in San Francisco. It's a little bit later. It's dinner time in Brazil, correct?
Yeah, as we usually dine a little bit later than the Americans, but it's fine.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah, we tend to eat and then just watch TV.
So dinner time here is like 7 p.m.
Oh, okay. Not too bad. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work history?
Okay. So I started programming when I was in the university, and I worked a bit there, did some research, and I began working professionally with some consultant work. I did that for almost 10 years. I had my own company, and we did jobs from small to large companies, mostly government work, government agencies. And during this time, I got interested in startups, and it was 2010, 2011. Here in Brazil was just the beginning of this type of companies to people start talking about. Then I started a startup myself, with two other co-founders. We did pretty well, have some good clients. We ended up being accelerated by 500 startups. Mm. And then I got in love with startups. This startup ended up failing. Then we ended it in 2014. And 2017, I started BXBlue with my two co-founders. Mm. And I've been doing that ever since.
Oh, for 5 years. And I forgot to mention, you're the chief technology officer at BXBlue, correct?
That's right, yes.
Yes.
And I've been CTO for both these companies. Also, yes. I have a very strong research background. Like, because of my undergrads, I ended up going full academic until my PhD. Mm. But that's another story.
Okay. And did you go to university in Brazil or abroad?
I went here in Brazil. I most of my PhD, I took it on the university from the capital city, Brasilia. Mm. But I did joint research with some external universities. And so I spent some time with the University of Western Ontario in Canada.
Mm. Oh, very nice. Yes, I've actually been there. That's, what's the name? London. London, Ontario would be in Western Ontario, right?
That's true. That's true. Great place to be.
I've been there before. The home of Guy Lombardo, by the way. So tell us what BXBlue does. I mean, it's an interesting, you're basically in the financial industry, right?
That's right. So we are a marketplace for personal loans in Brazil. We work with a very specific type of loan. We call it payroll loans because they are deducted from the paycheck. So when you get your paycheck, the installment is deducted directly. So the money goes directly to the bank. Mostly we work with a very secured cohort of these loans that goes for pensioners and government workers. Mm. So they have very low interest rates because the risk for the bank is very low. And we help people to find the best options and also to hire them faster in the best conditions.
Hmm. And do you deal strictly with people in Brazil, or do you branch out to other countries?
Right now, we deal only with Brazil.
Interesting, because we have people that do that here in the United States, but they're not as legit as you are, I would say.
Oh, I always say that it's very important to differentiate because there are payday loans in the right. U.S., and it's very different from what we do. Yeah. Because unlike payday loans that you have to go there and pay and everything else, here it's something that is regulated. Mm-hmm. So there are a bunch of rules. You can't take more than 30% of your paycheck on this kind of loans. Also, the maximum rate is regulated. And even though it's regulated, they're lower than the maximum. And that's where it came in. Like, we are the lowest interest rate for the past 3 years.
Wow.
In the market, we are the lowest option.
And what gave you and your cohorts the idea to start this business? That's an, you know, that you think of naturally, that's what banks do, but you're the, it sounds like you're the intermediary between the banks and the customer, right?
Okay. So like most tech people, we see a hard problem and we believe that technology can just make things easier. And then we go there and we see that it's even harder. Mm-hmm. So that's not different. We started the company. We wanted to do something else. We wanted to build a platform to connect banks with startups. Mm. And when we started investigating this market, we saw that in order for us to offer some kind of service for the banks, we had to sell something. Mm. And we started investigating. And we ended up seeing this market of payroll loans. Mm. And it's a huge market in Brazil, like $80 billion. And, oh, wow. And back then, it was completely offline. And it was amazing. Like when we saw that most of the brokers that they do this kind of loans, they work for multiple banks. And their role is to help clients to compare options. Mm. But they never do that. They usually sell the best option for them, like the one that pays the highest commission. So we said, okay, this is a very good option for us to place a marketplace and help users to get the best deal. And that's what we did. Like we started with the marketplace. Back then, all the contracts were offline, so we had to handle paper contracts. Mm-hmm. So we also lobbied with the banks to get digital contracts in place. And then we achieved that. And so today we are fully online and we have the fast payment rate and we have also the lowest rate.
Wow, that's great. And who do you consider your customer? You consider the bank to be your customer or the consumer? I would think the consumer.
Yes, we consider the customer, the consumer, the person hiring the loan. And we consider the banks our partners. Oh, okay. In the end, if it's good for the banks and it's good for the clients, our business will stand up. Because if it's not good for the bank in the end, we are not going to provide anything else. And this is something that we do very well because compared to offline brokers, we have a lower rate of complaints and also we are much more effective. Like because of this effectiveness, we are also more profitable for the banks, like 40% more profitable for them than offline brokers.
Yeah, so they like you as a partner.
They like money.
Yes, they do. I've worked for banks. I can tell you that. Yes, I work for HSBC, by the way, which is a pretty big bank in the world. Well, very cool. So you started in 2017 and it sounds like you went digital pretty early on. So when COVID hit, that probably didn't have a big effect on your company personally. Is that true?
You can suppose that, but like I can go back a little bit and tell that like BX Blue was remote from the beginning. Like the first year was just the three co-founders and we worked remotely from our house. And when we started hiring people, we said, okay, we're going to continue to be remote. But we have this challenge of creating a team of people to do CX, like customer support, customer experience. And we said, okay, it's better for us to have these people in-house. And so we got a place and an office and got all these people there. But we are always remote, like all the developers, all the market team was spread around. When COVID hit, we said, okay, it's time to go for remote. And in 1 week, we are everybody in their houses. Wow. Yeah, and today it's impossible for us to go back to the office. We cannot fit everyone in the office. And also we are spread around 17 states in the country. So,
wow. And I'm not familiar with Brazil. How many states are there in Brazil?
Okay, we're half the amount of states of the US. Okay, we're 26.
Okay, very cool. And so now, further, how many employees do you have?
Okay, today we're around 100.
Wow.
And we grew almost all this team during the COVID. Before COVID, we were 36, and now we are 100.
That's quite a lot of growth in 2 years. Wow.
Yes. Cool. I'm very, very much happy that we got the vaccines. We have a very high rate of vaccinations in Brazil. And we just started this year to go back to meet people again. So we're meeting, having our retreats. So this is nice. There are some people that I never met in person for 2 years.
Wow. And then, I mean, did that pose any challenges to you to be, I mean, doing everything 100% remote, like interviewing people that are in a state, you know, across Brazil that you met them like this, you didn't meet them in person. Was that hard at first?
Okay. So I've been remote since 2012. And I love it. I love it. Like, was one of my quotations with BXBlue was that we needed to go remote. And hiring is okay. We always did hiring remote. Our day-to-day was always remote. So that's not hard. The hard part is that during COVID, we're not in our normal business mode. Mm-hmm. Like, because some people went home and they didn't have the appropriate space, or even if they have the appropriate space, their families were not in the right, not right, but the appropriate conditions for people to work. So myself included, like I was stuck in house with my son. He could not go to school. I usually said to people, like, if they want to go remote, make sure that you have a quiet place in your house that you can work and do not be interrupted. This went through the window during COVID because you cannot ensure that, like, what you're going to do, right? Also, during COVID, you cannot see people. So even though we are hiring and we are doing many of our practices to make people feel that they belong to the company, we always met in person. So like every 6 months to 3 months, we would meet and have this connection that it's important because remote work, in the end, sometimes you have these dry relationships that I usually say that you have to water it and hydrate them. So these meetings, they are important. And we spend like 2 years without this possibility. So it was very, very hard. It was not normal, even for somebody that has been working remotely for so long.
Yeah, and I mean, I know here in the States, things have pretty much opened up, right? I don't know, what's the situation in Brazil? Is it open pretty much, or is it still shut down?
So I'd say that it's a mix because like everything's open. I live in one of the cities that has the lowest COVID rates in the country. Mm-hmm. And also the lowest death rates right now. It's even to date odd to discuss this kind of metrics on a day-to-day basis. So it's pretty much safe. Like I told you, vaccination rates are very high. I believe it today we're above 79% in Brazil. But each person is handling the situation on their own. So we have people that are not feeling safe yet. And we have people that they are feeling that they are even safer than before or something like that. But we have all the business open up. We have schools open. We have restaurants, concerts, everything, cinema.
So kind of back to normal. So with a little trepidation probably is the best way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And then what's the market like for developers and technical people in Brazil? Is it, are there a lot of them? And now that you're remote, does that make it easier to recruit them?
So back when we began with BXBlue, being remote was an advantage. Mm-hmm. Like while most of the big companies were not hiring remote, we were, and this was huge. Like we could hire like a huge talent that lived in the interior part of the northeast of the Brazil. Like we have very good hires like that. And also we could hire people that were wanting to leave like the big centers like São Paulo or Rio, stuff like that. But with the COVID and everybody went remote, this is not an advantage anymore. So it's a very, very hard market. I know that in the US it's very competitive. Mm-hmm. But for people that live in countries where the relationship of currency with dollar is not that favor, it's even harder. So we had, like many other companies, a very high attrition rate. Mm-hmm. But we did our homework and we managed to keep most of our team. Mm. But that's it.
I think we saw here people just decided to move and right, or just said, hey, I don't want to, I've decided to pursue a different lifestyle, right? Did you deal with any of that?
A lot. I have, I don't know, but many people in the company that decided to change cities. Like mm-hmm. I told you, most of them live in big cities to small cities. Like I have one of my tech leaders that he's moving right now, and he was telling me like, I'm gonna live now in a penthouse that I'll never be able to pay if I lived in São Paulo, but mm-hmm. I'm going to a smaller city and I'm gonna live like a king right now. Yes. So there are many people that did that. People that went to live in rural areas. which is nice. Like I like to see that people are not confined to do the same options that they have before.
Yeah, we actually saw that here in San Francisco too, believe it or not. San Francisco lost 6.3% of its population last year, which is a lot.
yes. I saw it. Yeah, and there is a lot of movement around the US, right?
Yes.
Miami is very hot right now.
Yes, it is. Miami and Texas and Nevada are doing very well. And the other one is Idaho. It's got a lot of people from California went to Idaho.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So we've been dealing with that too. It's interesting when people have a choice. It's like, why pay, you know, because houses here are $1 million or more. I can go to, my daughter just bought a house in another city for $400,000. Right?
Yes. And housing in San Francisco is hard, man.
It is. Yeah. Believe me, I'm so glad I bought it 9 years ago now. So going forward, I mean, it sounds like you're in growth mode. Where do you see yourself being in a year from now, 5 years from now? How big of a company you think you'll be?
It's hard to tell how big of a company will be. Probably bigger than we are today. And this is one of the biggest challenges. Not only growing as a company, but also retaining our culture, right? Mm. I know it's impossible for us to be the same culture every time, because every new person that you bring in is a new DNA to our culture. But to keep these people aligned and to be sure that we are going to the same direction. So 1 year from now, I expect to be in a much better position that we are right now. Even though we went through COVID, the economic situation in the world in general, it's very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. Brazil is not an exception. We did not did a very good job in the financial sector in Brazil. And we are in an election year here. So things got more complicated, but we're doing well. And we expected to expand what we're like right now. Our main challenge is to expand our target audience. So we have new products to launch this year, and next year I hope to be scaling them. And in 5 years, we see ourselves being a bigger part of this huge market that we attend to. We're still very, very small. Like our startup says, I need to be 0.01% of a very huge market, and we are less than 0.01% of this huge market. We expect to be more than that. So we have new products that we want to launch in 5 years, especially not only regarding the payroll loans, but also what is around it. There is a plethora of options that we have, like including insurance and investments that revolve around this target audience that we work with. And we can help these people to improve their financial situation, not only with loans, but also with other services that can help them.
Very cool. And do you see yourself branching out to other countries, like, you know, in South America or even North America?
So this is something that we always consider. Like Brazil is very large. Mm-hmm. So not only in population, but also in market size. But there are some countries that have a better relationship with this kind of market that we work with. So, because it's not a very new idea, right? So we know that some countries that have a better reputation for this kind of loan. So Colombia is one of them. But we have some other countries that they are trying this now. And if things goes well, we can go there. So like India is trying. We have some companies that are starting in India. Mexico, there have some companies that are starting in Mexico as well. But the like most of Latin America, the target, the way to tackle Latin America is to tackle oil all at once, right? Because compared to Brazil, all the other countries, they are much smaller.
Yeah.
So to have a strategy there is harder. But this is something that we consider, but is not our main goal right now.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that when you do decide. And I can tell you, I know a country that could use that service because it really does have a negative connotation in the United States. I don't know if you know that.
The payday loan. Say, yes, payday loans, I'm very much aware of that. Like we went through, we have many investors from the US.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are raising money, one of the first things that we need to learn is how to differentiate ourselves.
Yeah.
Because all the things, and even when we're talking about ads, when you're doing Facebook ads, Google ads, it's not allowed to do payday loans ads, and we need to talk to them to make sure like we're not doing payday loans. It's very different and everything else. So this is something that we had to learn very upfront.
Yes. Well, Fabrizio, it's been great talking to you. It sounds like you got a great little company there. I shouldn't say little. It's growing, and it sounds like you're going to continue to grow. And best of luck with it.
Thanks a lot, man. It was a pleasure talking to you.
All right. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.